Welcome to Boom 7, Meet the Owner, with your host, Stephen Dryden Hall, the podcast where we explore intriguing stories of local business pioneers. Each episode will unravel the unique journeys of entrepreneurs who have ventured into the world of business, faced challenges, and carved their path to success. Whether you're a seasoned entrepreneur or budding business owner, or simply curious about the behind the scenes of local businesses, you're in for a treat. We'll explore the highs, the lows, and the valuable lessons learned along the way. From radio stations to finance companies, marquee businesses to top-end sports cars. Each episode brings you a VIP seat into the dynamic world of entrepreneurship. Get ready for inspiring stories, insightful conversations, and a peek into the minds of those shaping the business landscape. So get your ears on, join us on this journey. This is Meet the Owner, where business stories come to life. Let's go, people.
Welcome to Boom 7, Episode 3. No business name this week, because we've got Steve Reed, who, like myself, has got lots of businesses. He's laughing already. Steve, welcome to the show. You're a big name in Northampton. Can you tell the listeners what businesses you own individually?
So we've got three, and it's Fryer's Farm. So that's chutneys, preserves, sauces, condiments. We've got Northampton Charcuterie Company. So we hand make charcuterie, salamis, bacon, things like that. And then we've got Northampton Cheese Company. We hand make small batch cheeses. So and they're literally sort of 35 kilos a week on cheese at the moment we make.
Wow. So first question, do you like food?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, it's I like all different sorts of food, and I like to try lots of different ones. So, I'm in a good business for that sort of thing. I'll never lose weight, but, you know.
I'm sure. But I remember how we met a few years ago through the Food Awards. And the one thing I'd say that when you're in a room, You're hard to miss, because you've always got some... don't say that wrong. You've always got the maddest... In fact, I think it's the first time I've seen you in years without a mad waistcoat. You've always got a mad waistcoat or a tie, and you're not shy, and you almost like have people gravitate to you. So in terms of the awards and stuff, why do you wear such crazy clothes?
Well, yeah. It actually...
Why?
The thing is don't dare me. Because somebody said to me, and it was actually one of the Food Awards team, it initially started at Althorpe Food Festival. Somebody says, oh, I bet I can wear a brighter shirt than you. And I was doing some, I mean, I'm not a chef, but I was doing some cooking demos. And let's just say he lost that bet. And it sort of went from there. So at the Food Awards, somebody said, oh, I dare you to wear a bright waistcoat. Well, they lost that also. And it's just something that sort of continued to lighten a bit of fun. You know, everybody's there in their black suits and ties.
Boring,
you know, multicoloured.
So you would say you want to be noticed as well. Because obviously you won the bear. You want to be noticed too. And I think that kind of goes along the right way if you've got like a room full of French people.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't sort of do it for vanity. I just do it for more fun,
yes.
You know. And, yeah, if you dare me, I'll probably do it.
Fantastic. You know? So you, which business did you start first? I feel like it was the jarred stuff. So.
Yeah. Fryer's Farm. I mean, I grew up in a village in Tiffield, just the other side of Toaster. And it was that sort of time where you learnt a lot from the older people.
Yes.
So nothing got wasted. You know, you'd go picking the blackberries in the hedgerows, things like that.
Amazing.
And you would turn it all into a jam or a chutney, things like that. And it was somebody's mum who used to make the most amazing pickled onions.
Yeah. Oh, I love pickled onions.
And yeah. We just sort of continued. I mean, we make now 300 to 400 kilos a year.
Pickled onions. Wow. I've not had yours, but I need to try those.
Oh, yeah. Well, we've just done a fresh batch, so... We'll make sure you get some.
Fantastic. So what age or how many years ago did you start doing that?
Well, as a business, I mean, we've made them for years.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know, probably about 45 years for myself.
Yes.
But as a business, we started the Fryer's Farm business probably about 12 years ago. And that was a small holding just the other side of Toaster. But, you know, we had a few sheep and pigs and stuff. But COVID put pay to a lot of that.
Of course.
Because small holdings couldn't buy animal feed.
Oh, nice.
We used to get a lot of feed from Phipps's Brewery, but obviously they weren't making beer because everything got shut down. So I think most of our sheep went to Wappenham Farm.
Yeah.
And we rehomed virtually all of them. We've just got three sheep now. The pets, so
crazy. So you yeah, do the, yeah. the jarred stuff, and you can go to like little delis and stuff and see your produce around.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they're in quite a few places. Am I allowed to name some of them?
You need to. This is what we do best, Chris, so, isn't it? We name drop the best.
Yeah, jars are in Whitesell Barton, the Good Loaf, Delapri Abbey. We've got we're restocking that tomorrow. Amazing. So we've got a little deli fridge in the Common Ground coffee shop. So they'll have the jars, the meats, and the cheese. Where else? We've got Beckworth and Dennett's at Daventry, so all around. And obviously the shop, can't not forget the shop.
Where's the shop?
So the Artisan Collective Farm Shop is in Midsummer Place, Milton Keynes, next to Lego.
Well, we know it well, actually, because we've done a few projects in there, and when it's busy, it's really busy, isn't it? And it's a great little spot. And to see a business of your size to be in a sort of like a national shopping centre,
absolutely,
it's fantastic. Yeah. And I think the landscape has changed slightly, where rates and stuff need to be addressed. And actually, the big boys, I call them the big brands.
Absolutely.
Not every site works. Yeah, so what they're doing now is they're giving opportunities to companies like yourself. Well,
this is how this came about. And, you know, the team at Midsummer have been absolutely fantastic. You know, they have their little project called the Hat Project, which we took part in. And our aim was to be like a farm shop. But what we have in there is not just our product, but local independent producers from around Northampton, Buckingham, Bedford. Yes. So it all gives them a sort of spotlight in a place that they probably never would have done.
100%. So you're almost like the leader of the gang. So you get your products in there first, and then you go to all the local artisans and say, look, I've got an opportunity. Is it a sale and return model?
It is. We have to do it that way because you know, if you see the size of the shop and the amount of products we've got in there, I could have spent an awful lot of money and it didn't work.
Yes.
You know, there were some people that in the time that we initially had it between the 16th of November and the 26th of December, you know, that didn't want to do that.
Yes.
They're changing their tunes now, but unfortunately those that supported us, you know, have got priority in there.
I think that's the right way to do it,
And, you know, Phipps's did, and they were very busy with bottles of beer at Christmas, the confectionist with her sweets, and even Molten Dog Treats. Now, although he doesn't make them, he's a young lad. He goes on a little Instagram, and his followers on there. And, yeah, the amount of natural dog treats we sold at Christmas was just crazy.
Lovely. You've mentioned Instagram.
Yeah.
So what's your take on social media? And obviously when you started your business, probably social media wasn't around. I mean, you did say 45 years. That was a year before I was born. So, you know, there's a lot of things that weren't invented, probably. How important is it to your three businesses?
They're very important. Now, you know, any advice I can give to anybody is be careful.
Ooh.
Because, you know, things can be taken. And it's, with social media, I actually pay my partner's daughter to do my social media because what I would actually think was funny, probably quite a few people don't.
No, you've got this sort of on-the-line sense of humour and the producer has also got the same sort of sense of humour. And sometimes you have to gauge your audience, and probably I've got the same sense of humour, which is why we all get on here. Yeah, you've got to be careful, but do you know what? Not to be too serious all the time.
Absolutely. I mean, to be honest, life's too short. You know, we had in the weekend, we had Harrison and Griffiths in with their Jamaican rum cakes and ginger cake. They was on the Audi thing. And I tell you what, we had such a laugh with them because they're like me. You know, they just say it as it is. And, you know, this same topic came up.
Yes.
You know, it's difficult because, you know, I mean, I put two pictures up, one of a sausage and one of a piglet. And I just literally put on it before and after.
Whose sausage was it?
Well, it was one we made.
Oh, sorry. You know? So I was thinking about
that. Yeah. And do you know what? It was just a bit of light-hearted humour. And the backlash from that, you know, it was just like, really?
But you got noticed.
Oh, you got noticed. Did
sales increase awareness? Gauge that?
My stress levels went up with sort of messages and stuff that I got. But, you know, a lot of products that Friars Farm makes are vegan friendly, you know. And, you know, everybody for us is each their own.
I think so.
So social media is a very, very big thing. And it can do a lot of good for your business. Yep. But on the other flip side, it can do a lot of damage if you're not careful.
Okay, so do when you look at your social media, are you the classic, oh, I need to post it tonight because I've forgotten, la, la, la. Obviously you've got someone helping you now. And also, do you put money into paid ads and do you have a strategy for that?
No, I mean, yes, I pay Laura to do it for me. And normally if I'm sitting there late at night and maybe if I've had a bottle of wine, I post something and then you'll notice in the morning when she's got up with her little ones, because she doesn't live around, she lives up north, she's changed it,
yes,
you know, to be more user-friendly. But I don't know enough about ads.
Yeah, okay.
You know, our next stage of where we are is to be looking at whether these work, you know, but it's difficult to get correct information because anybody that's selling marketing will tell you they're the next best thing.
Yes, you know? They will.
But for me, to pay out the money that a lot of them ask is a caution because it's like, okay, am I going to get that money back in the return of sales, that sort of thing? And it's always a very difficult thing to gauge. And I think we see people that, I mean, it's a conversation I was only having with Rachel yesterday.
Yeah.
Certain people that are popping up constantly on the feed, so they must be doing something and they've obviously got to be paying for it. But it's, you know, there are a lot of small businesses that would like that sort of advertising and yeah. marketing, but it's got to be at a reasonable cost.
Yeah, because your products, they're quite low entry to buy, so it's not yeah. like you're selling a Porsche every time. You're
yeah.
you know, it could be yeah. anything from yeah. three yeah. 5, 8, 10 pounds
yeah.
And if you've got to give a lot of that profit up per unit, you've got to look to see if you've yeah. made some money from that. So
you do. And I mean, the thing is as well, when we started, it was all home-based. You know, we made everything from home.
Yes.
Obviously, COVID hit. You know, we created the Northamptonshire sauce. That went crazy. Then we sort of took over the kitchen in Phipps's while the bar was closed. And then at the end of coming out of COVID, we actually took the back of the brewery and built a specific unit. So it sort of rolled and developed. But then, you know, there's still cost implications of growing.
Yes.
And you see so many times people will grow so far, take on a unit, and then all of a sudden the overhead's
too high. Yep. I was at the awards where I think you won. You had the sauce, which I'm going to call like a Worcester sauce,
yep.
but you're going to tell me the actual name. Yeah. So that's done really well, is it? I've seen
it. It has. And it, you know, that again, when I sort of, I had three ingredients. So anchovy extract, black pepper and cloves from what would have been the original recipe,
yes.
Predates Worcester sauce. But it was very similar, but I wanted to create something slightly different, you know. And when we launched that, October 3rd, 2020, I think it was now.
Ooh, like the rain, man.
1,000 bottles in the first week.
That's incredible. And it actually goes very well on cheese and toast. So
it does.
I bought some straight after that and I loved it. And actually, it's one of those. I've not bought it since.
Yeah.
And I think because I wasn't sure, can I buy online on your website? I'm not too sure. Because you've got a few businesses.
Yeah.
I'm never quite sure where to go to. Do I go to Friars Farm? Do I go to the cheese company? Or do I go? And I think that's the one element, I think, from an outside
what we've done, the cheese and the charcuterie have basically got their own websites.
Yes.
But when you want to buy something from them, it automatically takes you to Friars Farm, where you can buy everything in one go. Because I thought, well, you know, people are not going to be going to one and then pay postage on that.
No.
So at least they can direct them straight to Friars Farm and they can buy chutneys with cheese and salamis all in one go with one lot of postage.
Fantastic. And what's the goal for the business? So I think you do some collaborations. You do a lot of artisan markets.
Yeah.
You're at the awards. Yeah. You're championing your products all the time.
Yeah.
When we're now in February, well done me. But did you have a plan in January or before the new year to go, right, we want to achieve this, and the way we're going to do that is X, Y, and Z? No, you're looking like you're winging it.
You know what? I mean, the way sales are for many people, we've seen a lot of small artisan producers food-wise close over the last couple of months because December sales weren't there for them. We noticed that. The shop was our saving grace.
Yes.
You know, a lot of it now is just month by month. You know, we don't just make our products. We make products for other people,
yes.
So white label stuff. Quite annoying that quite a few of those that we've created for the people win great taste awards and we've yet to win one.
Well, sometimes that happens,
it
doesn't it?
But, you know, I mean, we do make quite a lot. You know, me blueberries that are over at Nassington over Roundall, they grow their own blueberries. And, you know, we make the blueberry and lavender jam for them under their label. And so we do quite a lot of that.
And are you Are you an operator? So are you making the food, or do you have staff that make the food?
We have staff as well. You know, I've literally, before I came here, was jarring up blueberry and lavender jam.
Fantastic.
And so it's quick, right, I need to go, rush out the door, let them carry on. When I get back, I'll be packing bacon and jarring up blueberry and beetroot chutney.
So I can go to the shop and I can buy some bacon from all the shops.
From us, yeah. Yeah,
or I
yeah.
can come to you. Yeah. You got in there before I even finished my sentence. So this
is
good.
Yeah, yeah.
And you get all the white stuff come out of the bacon, and it don't look very good. Do you get the white stuff? And what is that stuff that these supermarkets
So what it is water and gelatin. They use it to increase the size. I mean, if you buy bacon from a supermarket, it all looks exactly the same.
Yeah.
Even it smokes. When we smoke our bacon, we cold smoke it. And you know the guy, Turan.
I do know Turan. Yeah. I seen a little post this morning, actually. He's going to a show.
Yeah. I'd done a course with him many years ago, cold smoking course when he first started. And that sort of got the ball rolling.
Over at Linford.
With making charcuterie at home and smoking it. And, you know, he was at the unit and done a little video a few months ago.
He used to be a fireman, didn't he?
He did, yeah.
So
yeah.
You wouldn't even know it. The way he carries himself, you're like, this guy's been doing this for years. And it was a bit of a hobby for him, wasn't it? Yeah. And then obviously turned into a bit of a cook. Yeah. School, but yeah, for, you know, safe hands as well, you know, in
absolutely
the kitchen.
Yeah.
Do you, if I did what you did, I'd probably eat it all the time. Like, do you?
Oh god, yeah.
Do you eat?
Oh god,
you have to test.
You've got
to
sample it.
You do.
You know, anything new does not go out to the public unless we're happy with it and we try it. You know,
fantastic.
It's why I'm sort of rounded. You know, and it's like with cheeses, you know, if we create a new cheese, yes, it has to get lab tested, and then we're sampling it to, you know, because you have to do it in stages, because certain weeks it changes dramatically.
What is your favourite, cheese or charcuterie or both with a glass of wine?
Oh, definitely both with a glass of wine.
I thought you might say that.
Absolutely.
Does your shop sell wine as well?
Not at the moment. We the shop is applying for a premise license because obviously we were using the Thames route at Christmas because it wasn't supposed to be permanent. We're now applying for a premise license. And if there's local wine, locally made wine, I'm not sure if there's any in the Milton Keynes area, but if there's anybody who wants to come forward and sort of point us in the
right
direction.
Does it have to be local? I mean, obviously we're not known for Buckinghamshire to be producing wine. Down south, yes.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, we definitely need wine.
Yes,
we'll look at anything. I mean, I noticed with a lot of the British wines, they're very expensive.
They are, yeah.
And yes, they may be good, but you've still got to look at that cost factor. You know, you want people to come in and actually buy it.
Yes.
Rather than just think, oh, I can't buy that. It's £15 a bottle.
Didn't Prince William and his wife have, it's made in Sussex, isn't it? Chapel Down?
I don't know.
Really lovely place. I mean, it is expensive.
I like me Malbecs, to be honest.
You do? Yeah, I don't think we do any of that in the UK. So what does this look like this year? We've booked you in for a few street food events this year. How important are the little artisan markets?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, the Frost one, a great event. You know, you get to another sort of range of people, and the one thing that I do find is the costs of attending are very good as well.
Big shout out to Frost.
Absolutely.
We love Frost.
I mean, the thing is, you know, we've got quite a few events. You know, I've just started to book one this morning, £300 for 2 days. Some that go more, we just don't attend because you won't get that return on it.
What do you, as a business owner, what do you have at the end of the year? What do you spend your money on? Because I'd probably buy loads of food. But what's your outside of food? What is your treats? What do you like? What do you work hard for?
Well, to be honest, I mean, since, where we were now, February, probably since sort of October, and obviously the shop, we didn't do anything.
Yeah.
It was literally constant work. You know, we'd do 12 to 14 hours a day, every day.
Really?
That's 7 days a week. You know, anybody that's sort of looking at setting their own business up, don't think it's going to be easy. If you want it to work and succeed, I mean, there's quite a lot of people out there that, one, don't like what I do because they've done something similar and it's still a hobby. But, you know, the financial input and the work that goes into making it work is horrendous.
Well, I imagine if you put your time versus what you get in over a year, you're probably on quite a low wage.
Very low.
Yeah.
Very low. But it, you know, to make it work, you know, you've seen our products, you've tasted them.
I have, yeah.
You know, for me, it's to make the best product that we physically can.
Fantastic.
You know, we don't do second best. You know what I mean? It's, if you're going to do that, you might as well not bother.
Yes, and if you didn't, what did you do before this? Did you have a job?
Oh God, yeah, I spent 30 years in truck driving and transport management.
Oh wow,
yeah.
Okay, so
nobody ever
change.
Guesses that. They never guess it.
Do they not?
Yeah, no, no.
So if you didn't do what you did now, what would you do next? What would be the
retirement? Well, no, I'd probably be bored, but we've got a motorhome that we actually don't use.
Okay.
So we might probably just travel about a bit, and not the fact that I hate driving now. So yeah, a bit of a sort of...
So you hate driving?
Yeah, I'd have bought a motorhome. That's not
why
good.
Would you do that? That doesn't make sense.
No, it doesn't. A lot of things what I do don't make sense.
Yeah.
Ask my missus, you know. Why do I buy things like an 8-foot werewolf, you know?
What? Why did you buy an 8-foot werewolf, Steve?
Because I hadn't got one.
And not many people have, right?
No, and a 7-foot dragon.
7-foot dragon?
Yeah, yeah.
Is this
yeah.
in your garden?
No, it's in a box at the minute because the wind blows it around. But okay. Yeah, I just like scaring children, really.
Do you?
Yeah.
Halloween house. Do you have a good Halloween house?
Oh, yeah, they won't come down my driveway. Absolutely.
You've gone all weird, Steve.
I get to eat all the sweets myself.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
So this year, you've mentioned Frost. Good shout out there.
Yeah.
Where can people find your products? Where's the shop? Can they go online? And what do you want more of? And is there more restaurants that can support as well? Can they buy from you?
Yes, we do sell one or two to like wholesale and to the hospitality. You know, they are a lot of hospitalities now. They do opt for a cheaper product because okay. obviously it's a lot of cost for them and you know, most pubs and that are struggling at the minute, so we understand that. You know, when we started it, predominantly Toaster Racecourse, Civil Circuit, we'd done more to hospitality than COVID hit,
yeah.
and it's actually turned it opposite.
Okay.
You know, so it's more jar products, things like that.
But you're confident it's going to come back round?
I think it will.
Yeah.
You know, we do have some fantastic places out there. You know, there's some fantastic eateries. And obviously being in Milton Keynes as well, I've yes. noticed a few more. And actually that came up at the Milton Keynes Food Awards, I'm like, oh, that looks very interesting.
Yes.
You know, the places that we would never have seen.
Yeah.
So I think it's good for all businesses, you know.
And do you do, because I'm just thinking from a business point of view, you should do, or if you don't already, do you do like little charcuterie, cheese and wine nights where you can buy a ticket, paid up front?
Other people do them with our products.
Yes.
The Eccentric Englishman just up the road here, they're doing one. For us, it's just time.
Okay, so you would do it, but you're busy working.
Yeah. I mean, my day starts around 5 o'clock in the morning and normally finishes about 8 o'clock at night.
Wow.
So, but that's...
And is it seasonal? So are you sort of spring through to autumn? Is that your busy?
No, it's all year.
It's all year long.
Yeah. See, at the moment, what we're doing now, we've got wholesale orders coming in that we do white label stuff. So they're prepping. I mean, one order just coming, 1,000 jars that we've got to get made. And that will see them through to the next 4 months.
Yeah, wow.
So, you know, that sometimes January is quiet, but there's different aspects of the business because we try and sort of roll other things as well.
Of course.
And that keeps it going.
And any tips for someone that wants to, one, get in the food industry and make products, what tips, whether they're good or bad, someone starting up today, 2024, you've been there, done it,
yep,
what would you give them?
What I would say to anybody, you know, if you make a product,
yes,
don't ask your family's opinion because they'll lie to you. And it's true. I mean, it's like your family will tell you what they think you want to hear. They want you want to hear that it's fantastic and whatever. Get an outsider's opinion on the product. You know,
okay.
we do quite a bit. You know, somebody will come up to us. I mean, we had one in the pop-up.
Yes.
Now, the lady, Suzanne, she makes normally wedding cakes, but she said, I do these Malaysian sweet treats. Man, they were to die for.
Okay.
And it was done with like pandan leaf, things like that. And I'd never heard of them.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and then we was at one of the sort of Made in Northamptonshire meetings and she bought this rose lemon sponge. Oh, my God, I'd never tasted nothing like it. And the thing is, she was giving it to people that didn't know her, didn't know her products. So they gave her an honest opinion.
Yes.
And that's the best way to say, family will always lie to you to make you feel good.
So do not use any family for yeah, any business. Yeah.
If you
want
to know if your product's good or has a chance, ask somebody that in the business, or, you know, will actually give you an honest opinion. And unfortunately, I will.
Well, they need to come to you, don't they?
Absolutely. You know, I don't mind.
If there's anyone out there that's got some food products and wants Steve's opinion.
We help a lot of people. You know, it's not just our own businesses. We've even helped people that, unbeknown to them, that make similar products to us.
Yes.
You know, via a third party. They want to know what way to set up, things like that. And then they were actually quite shocked when they found out that it was us that sort of give them the advice of what they need to do.
I think it goes around, doesn't it? Sometimes you're winning, sometimes you're losing. You know, get some good advice, test the product, whether the labeling's any good. You know, there's lots to
think about. Don't throw too much money at it in case it doesn't work.
Yeah, of course.
You know, I mean, with like jams and chutneys, you've got hundreds of people making them.
Yeah.
But be different, you know. Don't do a strawberry jam. Do something different.
Yeah, of course.
That attracts that. Actually, I haven't seen that before.
Yes.
You know.
And I'd love to see your larder. Have you got a lot of tins, jars, food, samples all around your house?
No. I mean, the weird thing is, before we started making cheese and charcuterie, I used to eat a lot of it.
Yeah.
But because you're working with it on a daily basis,
I've got a
big jar of pickled onions in the cupboard. Been there for 5 years, so I'm just sort of every couple of months I'll take one or two out of it just to actually see how they're changing. We used to cook a lot, but for the last sort of 6-7 months we haven't had much chance to.
No, of course.
Live off takeaways.
Oh dear! Any good takeaways in Northampton you can recommend?
I shouldn't have said that, but the answer is no. They were good, but we had one last night, and I got to be honest, we won't be having another one.
So anyone in Northampton, move to Milton Keynes, Bedford, and surrounding counties. By the sounds of it.
Well, actually, I had because obviously we're in Midsummer, and wasn't a fan of Five Guys, but the pretzel place, never ever had one.
Mr. Pretzel.
Yeah, and I had a pizza one, and actually was amazing. Loved it.
That's good.
Absolutely loved it. And the other one that's up the corner, Panda Woo.
Panda Woo, we know the owners of Panda Woo, don't we?
Yeah.
So they're doing something different with their little cat that waves his little hand.
Yeah, the steamed bao buns there.
Yeah.
Absolutely amazing food there.
Well, I'm sure Mo and Lee will be very happy about this little shout-out.
Don't give me a discount. It cost me a fortune there.
We're off the discount. Well, look, thanks for coming on the show. We love what you do. Keep going for the awards, because I think getting out there, and I think it's just passing it to the guys coming through as well, because you've been there and done it, and we need more
younger people coming through. And that's a key thing for a lot of us, you know, with what we do. I mean, I'd never made cheese in the quantities we do.
No.
And I think it'd be a shame to see trades die out, because you know they're all mass produced in a factory. I think the younger generation needs to sort of step up a little bit.
Well, I'll be looking forward to courses that come to your unit when you've got a bit more time and you can train some people up. But thanks for coming on.
You're welcome.
Good luck for this year.
Thank you.
If you ever see anyone rolling cheese down a hill, let me come, because I've always wanted to watch and do that. So
well, we'll see what we can do.
Cheers, Steve. Thanks, buddy.